Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for Mavs and Stars Super Segment because yesterday we got not one, but two victories from the Metroplex teams. The Mavs are victorious. The Stars are victorious. Go ahead and give me cut number 6, if you will, because I specifically want to talk about the Stars and this individual to kick it off before we dive into the Mavs.
Jason Robertson will move it up. He's got Roope Hintz. Hintz, a drop pass. The Donoff in front. The tip save. Rebound score. Hintz got a couple cracks at that one, and he puts the rebound home. It's 2-0 Dallas.
Now, the Stars are victorious 4-1. This game, very different from the Rangers game in terms of you clearly fell into a huge hole, had a battle. The Stars had control in the first period. They never relinquished control. There was no point, and y'all can correct me if you feel differently, that I thought this game was in doubt after the first period. And part of the reason is your backup goalie's getting work done again with Casey DeSmith. Philadelphia's not a good team. I don't want to make it sound like, oh, they just took down a huge team. The last two teams they beat are not good, but they extended an already season-long win streak.
Who do you think Eric Lindros was pulling for?
He was my
Quebec Nordiques.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that? That's okay.
I know he played for the Flyers and the Stars. The Stars for a second.
But I think the Nordiques were who were gonna draft him, and he's like, hell no, I'm not going there. And then Philadelphia back at the time, if I remember correctly, had to give up like everything in the world to get him. So that's why I throw that out there.
You know what I really like about all the three teams that we're passionately in love with right now, and that is you can just throw a dart. I know I was playing darts with this thing, but you can throw a dart at their roster and go, I love that player. Like, if like Maverick Bork, I'm like, I'm very excited about what Maverick Bork's bringing to this thing. Roope, you know, you just, anybody on that roster with the Stars, it's like, I feel really confident about the talent. And I don't know, Kevin, maybe it is me. Is that just because I'm a Dallas Stars fan? The Mavericks roster, same way. I can throw a dart and be like, I love that player.
I think you're going to see that reflected in this segment and some of these highlights. That's one of the reasons I wanted to spotlight Robertson, because we're tough on him because
I am.
We have higher expectations for him than maybe anybody on the team. If you don't think it's anybody else on the team, maybe you think it's Wyatt Johnson or Ottinger or whatever. But like, it's pretty high up there. So in the last 16 games for Robertson, he has 20 points. And I told you going back to, I don't know, pretty early in the season, Jason Robertson has to be a point a game person. Like on average, he has to be at least a point a game person. So in the last 16 games, 20 points. He's now second on the team in points behind Mike's favorite player, Matt Duchene. So he's really picked it up in these last 16 games. And so have the Stars. Like, don't look now, but if you take a look at the Central, the Central is now within striking distance, especially because you have two games in hand on both Minnesota and Winnipeg. Winnipeg started out with the most insane start we've ever seen in the history of the NHL. But if you look at the standings right now, the Stars are on the doorstep, and they might be able to create some separation between them and Colorado.
Kevin, would it be fair, though? Maybe I had this expectation that I don't think he's Raphael, all right? Because Raphael has this edge about him, you know, that, and I'm speaking Ninja Turtles right now.
Yes.
But would it be fair that the expectation is he's going to become Leonardo?
That's what I think.
Maybe he's more Donatello than anything because he can do so many different things.
Hopefully people are enjoying this, and it's a sad reflection of how long we've worked together. Because as soon as you said Raphael, I was like, I kind of think of him more as potentially being Leonardo. So that's an interesting look. You have other players on the roster if you're looking for that like edge that maybe Jason Robertson, every now and again he'll bring it, but for the most part, not really. So I was just really encouraged because one of the things that we've talked about frequently is Robertson picking it up. Guess what? he's picked it up. The goaltending, DeSmith has been, I mean, he's been really, really, really good.
Yes.
He won his fourth straight start. And lest you think it's the offense bailing him out, in every one of those starts, he hasn't given up more than two goals.
Let's go.
Great.
Let's go.
I don't care who they're
That's
playing.
That's a Cody Bradford effort
yes.
right there.
Yes. I don't care if they're playing the worst team in the league. If DeSmith's going to go out there and he's not going to give up more than two goals, boom. Victory.
We got a shot tonight.
Exactly. And it should be a victory. So big, big time stuff for the Stars. Shout out to Robertson, to Smith. Shout out to them for extending their season-long win streak. We're now up to six, and I believe they have 15 points in their last 16 games, which is that's a staggering accomplishment right there. So hooray for the Stars. We can talk more about the Stars, but I also want to go ahead and mix this in as well. Corey, you said a player you can fall in love with at any single point. Give me cut number four, if you will, because this is another gentleman who I think is doing a better job with his minutes than maybe he had before.
And don't max up ahead to Grimes. Hardy, he is all alone and drills a three. You felt that one.
I don't want to make it sound like Jaden Hardy has impressed everybody so much and that's why he's getting more minutes. We all know he's getting more minutes because of injuries, but I feel like he's maybe doing better with these minutes than he had at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I'm with you. He got off to a rough start. It actually gave Spencer Dinwiddie the opportunity to get the minutes that Spencer Dinwiddie's getting because he did, right, a better job
yes.
with those opportunities, which then pushed Jaden Hardy, unfortunately did get hurt too, but it pushed him to, we don't really have any minutes for you with Grimes and Dinwiddie and obviously Luka and Kyrie at the time being healthy. And so now with the injuries that have happened to Kyrie and Luka, it's like, hey, we need a score. And that's what Jaden Hardy is best at. He's really a kind of a, I think he is going to be, I don't know on the Mavs, but I do think he's going to be one of those sixth man of the year candidates that averages 15 to 17 off of the bench as kind of a microwave score. Hey, come on
I
in.
Like it.
Sometimes get 22. Sometimes you're off on the night and we got to kind of push you to the side and you're only going to have 5 or 6 points. But he has done a really good job being at the game last night. He obviously got off to a great start and then there wasn't really much in the third quarter from him. And then he had some moments in the fourth, which were big moments and big shots that he made. So the one thing I like is that he doesn't seem to be afraid of taking a big shot in a big moment.
Mm-mm. No, he's given that freedom too by Jason Kidd. That's the big thing is Jason Kidd said, step into it, you know, be ready for it.
Especially in these situations, right, Corey, when there's no Luka, no Kyrie, like, hey, take as many shots as you want.
Right.
The thing about his minutes that I'm kind of looking at that I've liked a lot is, Mike, you said 17 points. That's what I was hoping for from him last year. But he didn't quite, you know, evolve into that player yet, and this roster wasn't what it is right now. But looking at the numbers on him, the points are good. He got 29 minutes last night. Points go up. So when he gets more minutes, points go up. But look at the turnovers in the last five games. First three of them, you got 4, 1, and 3. That's, what, 8, Kevin, if I'm doing math correctly? Last two games, 2. 2 turnovers. So like that's what I want to see more of from him is whenever I'm not expecting him to be a guy that's like I'm controlling the ball and everything, but when you get the ball, I don't need 8 turnovers in 3 games from you, all right?
I almost feel like to your point, Corey, watching him play is don't worry about passing the ball.
You're score.
I hate telling he's you, the one that you
not,
will be
you're
okay
not good at.
Yeah.
You're not good at this.
Yeah.
So you are good at getting off your own shot.
And creating, you got to create for him too. Like, give him that opportunity to be able to say, you know, I'm not taken over by a double team or I don't know what to do on this play. Give him that opportunity to be that scorer.
Now, look, we had this discussion with the Stars and the Flyers. You didn't beat a good team, but you're in the mode right now. It's different with the Stars. I think the Stars go into every game thinking, I believe you can get 2 points tonight. I don't feel that way right now about the Mavs just because of how you're without your top two players. And obviously Gafford's dealing with an ankle injury. Like you have problems on top of problems. So any win for the Mavericks right now, I think is a huge deal.
I left that game last night going, how in the world did the Mavs win this game?
Amazing
I was there
close.
For the whole game. It sucked. The end was great. The last 5 minutes ended up being very entertaining, but it felt like this was kind of nostalgically cool And the guy who I went with did not grow up here. I think he moved here around 2004, like job-wise. So he's been in the Metroplex now for 20 years, and he's from the kind of New England area. And I was like, this is Reunion Arena. So my 1990s, this is what every game looked like at Reunion Arena. The upper deck last night was 20 to 25% full. The Lexus level, your second level, was 30 to 40% full. And then the lower bowl was probably 65 to 75% full.
Okay.
So that's about what Reunion Arena was like in the 90s for the Dallas Mavericks. And so it was weird. You're there. There's so many empty seats. There's so much room to spread out. And it was because of the weather. And then I'm sure a lot of people are like, hey, one, the weather. Two, there's no Luka. There's no Kyrie. Portland doesn't have a player like Damian Lillard now on their team where you're like, dude, this is your one of two chances to go see Damian Lillard play this year. They're a young and trying to be an up-and-coming team. So a lot of people just probably had tickets and just said, screw it, I'm just not going to go to it. But going to that game was weird and fun because it's the first time I've ever been in that arena where it's been maybe 50% full, but it just reminded me so much of 1990s Reunion Arena basketball, where you're like, why don't you want to ask, like, Corey, we could stick everybody in the lower bowl. Like, that, like, we don't need any other section or any other sections besides the lower bowl.
Is there anything – I've been at games before. I mean, I think it was the Toronto game years ago. The Mavs came back from like 28 points down or something like that. Is there anything more fun than your team finishing – like you stuck around for it and it was kind of in limbo and you don't even know if you really cared that much about it, but then all of a sudden it has a wild, fun finish and you're like, that makes you leave the arena that way. I love it.
Yeah, because it ended up going – oh, that was really fun. Like, if you went to that game, you'd say, I want to go back to another game. But for about 40 minutes of the 48 minutes, you're like, this game's horrible.
You know, look, if people don't like, Mike, you combining baseball and football, clearly, Alec, I feel like you'll be with me on this. People might not like when I bring pro wrestling into the thing. That's what people say about the main event all the time. Even if the rest of your card is crap, if you can put out a great main event and people walk out of the building like, oh man, that was really fun. We should do that again. And that is essentially what the Mavericks put on. They had an insane run to close the game, but they were going to lose. For most of the night, it looked like they were going to lose to a bad, bad team. And that's now two in a row for the Mavs, which, look, let's not flip out about it. But when you had lost, was it five in a row?
Yes.
Before that, and you're depleted all of these people, that any win's a big win for this Mavs team.
Kevin, I don't hope I don't screw up the last 3 minutes here of the segment and you had something else planned, but I had this question to Adrian last night as Mike was texting us and kind of explaining what was going on in the arena. And he, did you say your tickets were free? Like that was, yeah. I was like, in my mind, I was going, man.
People were at the end on like on Facebook pages that sell Maverick tickets.
Just
saying, if you want to go, I'll just transfer them to you. I'm not going to brave it.
What's the most important thing? This could be a whole other segment. What's the most important thing when you show up to an arena or stadium to you? Because Adrian last night was like comfort in my seat. And I was like, my kids, it's cotton candy. For me, it's the game. And I think every person shows up with a different thing in mind that they're like, this for me is the thing that's the most important tonight, being seen or whatever it is.
You know, mine might really be out there. I want to know the exact path I took to get in there and the exact path I can take to get out of there in terms of walking, in terms of where my car is, in terms of all of that. I can't tell you how much more comfortable I feel if I walk into the American Airlines Center and I'm like, all right, it was a straight shot to 116. Like, I don't care where our seats are. I go sit wherever, but I just know I have to find 116 and it's a straight shot out of there because I'm very directionally challenged.
I guess for me, it is, I want to see great effort. I want to see, last night is not the case. There's nothing. I want to see somebody who is a star at their sport. I mean, that is real.
Yeah.
When Mike Trout is healthy or Shohei Ohtani, it's weird. The Angels stink, at the time. But when you got to see Shohei and Trout healthy and both in the game, you're like, dude, this is, I could see something spectacular tonight because these guys do something that only 1% of people that have ever played the sport can possibly do.
And you don't feel that way about Scoot, right?
No, I know he came off the bench. He's a nice, young, up-and-coming player, and there just wasn't that draw last night. But I will say this. I thought two crappy teams, and the Mavs right now are a crap. I love the Mavs. I think they can win the NBA championship. I wouldn't predict them to do it, but I do think when healthy, they're good enough to do it. Last night, that is a crappy team. They're giving their best effort, but I cannot fault any player on the team for the Mavs last night for their effort. They're giving great effort. They ended up coming back and winning the game. Luckily, Chauncey Billups stunk as a head coach last night, I thought, as the game progressed. And also, he did look at a couple of his young guys like, what the crap are you doing? And they're young and stupid, and they're trying to grow as a team, but... I guess for me, I want to see great effort, and then I want to go away going, wow, that's the best product that sport can give me. And I don't want it to turn to this. That's why I struggle with the WNBA. That's the best product women can give you.
Yeah.
But I know that I can watch a much better product of that. It's like going to a Frisco Rough Riders game. Those are great young guys playing the sport. But I know there's a much better product 45 minutes down the road. And I was pretty much a minor league player my whole career. So if you're like, you're taking shots, you a-hole. Well, guess what? I was the Nimrod who had to spend most of my career in AAA.
Shout out, by the way, to Derek Lively. Season high, 21 points. Career high, or tying career high, 16 rebounds. When he goes 20 and 15, Mavs are 4-1. It's his second 20 and 15 game, and the Mavs are 4-1 when he scores 20 or more points. That's one of the people they needed to step up, especially in Gafford's absence.
I did start counting Spencer Dinwiddie's dribbles out loud as he refused to move the ball.
It was
amazing. I was like, do you know how you guys came back? You guys pushed the ball, and then you moved the ball. I know this is simple basketball. Do you know that the ball moves faster than human beings? I can actually pass the ball faster than dribbling the ball. And as the Mavs they're down 101-90 when a guy's text you game, this game sucks. It was amazing when you moved the ball quickly and pushed the ball, how good of a shot you got instead of dribbling the ball 14 effing times. And then with 6 seconds to go, passing it to Quentin Grimes or somebody. And he's like, you effed me over, you eff. And then he has to shoot a horrible shot or take a charge or whatever. And that was pretty much most of the game until late when the Mavericks decided passing the ball actually works. Mm-hmm.
So there's some wins there. Hopefully Gafford continues to get better. You can get him more and more minutes in these games because I love the combination of him and Lively. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, a Bengals wide receiver, a Sacramento sports anchor, and NFL players. Too drunk to stand. Do any of these folks deserve Forgiveness Friday? Do you? We'll do next right here on The Fan.
There's been some magic in the past on these nights. Here's Dinwiddie. Fights PK. Yeah, baby! Corner three. Dallas, they lead it by three.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. It's almost time for Forgiveness Friday, but I lost track of this. It is also a shout-out Friday from the 214. I feel like this is sarcastic. Can all of the news weathermen get a shout out for over exaggerating the weather conditions in the DFW? I mean, there's definitely snow and ice out there, but it did sound like we went from like you might get a foot or more of snow to 3 to 5 inches to a lot of people's yards are barely even covered.
Oh, I'm sitting in like it's still snowing right now out here in place. It's still coming down because I just went outside, Kevin. All right, my studio's outside. Okay, it's in a little shed out here, and I didn't want to go into the house to go to the restroom, so I went out here, and a snowflake landed on it, and that's really cold. I just want to let y'all know. Snowflakes landing on your thing, kind of cold.
Snowflakes like a person? Or...
No, not a snowflake like a person, Kevin. Like
I just was clarifying.
A real live snowflake. Well, anyway, we're getting more of it. I'm pretty it's pretty packed. I got about 5 inches out here, I think. I don't know what 5 inches is, though. So anyway, back to you, Kevin.
You know what
you can
to do.
Stick
Alec.
A roller in the snow.
I'll do that in a little bit when I find a ruler, Mike.
All right, now let's do some Forgiveness Friday.
What about the other thing? Tape measure.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you just wanted it.
You didn't have a ruler.
Now, I didn't know this was the case from the 214. The Mavericks need to ask for forgiveness. They refused to let us sell our tickets for less than $100 a ticket. We tried to sell ours. They ended up going to waste. I'm not disputing that. I'm not familiar with that policy.
I know that there are a couple people on a fan page slash Facebook page yeah. that I'm on that like some people are like, I can't go, and they just can transfer the tickets to you. Now, I don't know how it all works, like transferring the tickets and then taking Venmo and then trusting the whole process, or taking whatever, PayPal or whatever yeah. it is. Like, I do not know that. But I know that I'm assuming that game was considered the 9,000th sellout in a row for the Mavericks.
Probably so.
Mike, is that group that we know the same guy on that Facebook group?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a pretty trustworthy group. I like when people do something like that you feel like you can really trust whenever yeah. those people are, because it's not just anybody can be part of it. They kind of really have to go through a little bit of a vetting process. Yes. I like that.
Now, I'm going to go from that to, and look, if you want to send in any of your shout outs, we're glad to hear it as well. If you want to give us any of your weather conditions, I'm definitely interested in that. Do you guys want something more fun or something a little serious?
Kevin, I'll be honest. All right. I did see the three that you put on the run sheet, and I feel like I was like, oh, today is this is going to be a sad Forgiveness Friday.
I have a ridiculous fun one for you.
Fun.
Then.
We've right. been way too serious with this Mike McCarthy negotiation okay. coming back. Having
Take
to
a
like,
load off.
Yeah, feel sorry for the guy or whatever. I don't know.
So, Jake, I believe it's Gadden, is a sports anchor in Sacramento. And we get a chance to bring this up the other day, but he was doing a spot on Tuesday night, and he's doing a spot from his desk and everything, where he has lots of important things open on his computer. But he also, on his computer, had the Rihanna lingerie ad, but it wasn't like, hey, this ad is on your computer. It's like, hey, you've clicked on this and you've made sure to go out of your way, because it's like a big image. And so he's got his Rihanna in lingerie picture up behind him while he's doing his spot, and people found it hard to concentrate.
Why would they find it hard to concentrate, Kevin? It's just a lingerie.
I mean, it's also Rihanna, and good for Rihanna. She's
doing
well.
Is she the one that would wear a white see-through shirt at NBA games, and Jeff sure. Van Gundy would get excited about?
Ooh, I'm not sure.
I think so.
This was a while ago, but I think that was her.
Okay,
she'd wear like a white kind of tank toppy shirt and no bra.
Oh, wow. And Van Gundy was all about it?
Yeah.
Okay. All
Pretty
right.
sure I'm telling you. Hey, check me on that. Maybe I'm wrong.
From the,
I think I'm right.
From the 817.
Women, right?
I'm in Roanoke, and Choppy should have come into the office today. Ooh. All right. Interesting. From the 469, shout out to Notre Dame for playing like champions. Now, Corey, I know you were really invested in this game yesterday. I'm sure it'll do a really good rating. It was not the best game between two teams, but it was very entertaining. Is that fair?
I think all my texts to you last night were, these teams are terrible. And then I thought to myself, I got to give myself a little, or them a little bit of a break. And here's why. When you are playing uncommon opponents, and Mike, I don't know if this kind of applies in baseball, but I do feel like there's a feeling out period of what they're playing. You don't know what they are. You have film. You've watched them. You scouted them. You've gotten to know them a little bit. And I'm not saying that halftime adjustments are the big thing, but in college you do have a little more time to do some halftime adjustments. But maybe you figured out, if you haven't played this team before and now you're playing them, now you found out why that opponent is a little more physical than you. How do we handle that? They're a little faster than we thought. How do you handle that? So going into halftime, it was, what, 10-10? And you're just like, oh, man, this isn't a high-scoring game. But in the second half, they kind of picked up, because they got a little more understanding. That's when it looked like Penn State decided, we just want to run it down their throats. We want to be a more physical team than them, because we know we're bigger and stronger. Hell, number 44, I can't remember his name, from Penn State, the big old kid that looks like a tight end that could play every position. He's just like, I'm just going to run over people. And that was something that I found really interesting. But then late in the game, the quarterback play was very sloppy, and those interceptions just kept going back and forth. But it turned out to be a wildly exciting game in the end, you know, whenever it all wrapped up.
I don't know if we'll talk about this again later, but there are now some people who think tonight is essentially the de facto national championship game.
On ESPN, it says Texas has a 51% chance of winning. They're 6-point underdogs.
Huh.
And ESPN says that, whatever it's called.
The FPI, I think.
Yeah, they're like, Texas, 51% chance. I'm like, wait a second. I'm confused. I watched that Oregon-Ohio State game, and I watched the Texas-Arizona State game, and I would think Ohio State definitely looks like the best team. I'm confused on why Texas is a 51% chance of winning. I get it's all like, I say fake. I know they're using a lot of computer-generated things, but that's confusing to me.
That is interesting. Look, if Texas has got to play better than they did against Arizona State, or hope Ohio State plays way worse than they did against Oregon, or else this game will be a destruction.
Maybe they heard my reasoning for Ryan Day saying, all y'all wanted me fired, so I'm going to intentionally throw this game and not even give y'all a shot. And they're applying that into the mathematics of it all.
Now, I don't know if you consider this fun or not, but it is a wild thing we didn't get the opportunity to discuss. So there's this part-time actor from Orange County, Keith Middlebrook. He got sentenced earlier this week to 8 years and 2 months in federal prison. So what does this have to do with sports? Well, he solicited potential investors in California, New York, Nevada, Texas, a whole bunch of other states via text messages, videos, statements on YouTube and Instagram about his cure for COVID. Like, that's wild enough. But also, he says that he is the guy who came up with the idea for Ballers, and it was inspired by his life and everything like that. And what I bet he didn't count on is that Magic Johnson's like, yeah, I got a minute. I'll testify that you had nothing to do with that. And so Magic Johnson ended up testifying when this guy's like, I was the inspiration for Ballers. And Magic Johnson showed up and was like, dude, it was like legitimately our team. Like, what are you even saying?
Yeah. Wow. That is, you look at the picture of this guy. If Mike, if you get a chance, look at the picture of the guy. It tells you the story. Like, you can, there are some things I feel in life, and maybe it's a little, maybe there is a little stereotype in there, but you know, I look at this guy and his face just kind of tells me all these things like, yeah, I could try and con some people. I'm probably going to try and con this person.
It looks like he thought if he took more steroids, his hair would start growing back.
Yeah, and let me be in the sun or the fake tan just a little bit longer so I can actually be waxy looking. No, he just kind of has that look about him.
Okay, I just typed in Ballers Magic Johnson, and I guess I see he's like a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
He's got that look.
I will tell you, I had trouble concentrating as we have 2 minutes to go till we get this
because of the soup.
What happened with your soup? Are you eating the double noodle?
Kevin's eating soup. I don't know what flavor it is.
It is double noodle.
But it's funny because he kept bending over, and I was like, is he feeling bad? Because I couldn't, the computer's in the way of your soup. And I'm
okay,
like,
okay, yeah.
And then I saw him slurping on his soup, and it was just fun to watch. And so my brain went away from Magic Johnson ball. No, it was really fun, actually. I was entertained by watching you eat soup. I feel like I could watch you eat soup and just be entertained and talk about it.
That should be, Carter should set that up as a channel one day and just have the solo cam on Kevin eating the soup cam. We can call it the soup cam. I like that a lot.
Kevin's soup cam.
Okay.
Yeah, it could be sponsored
and
by
you eat
Campbell's.
It out of a can.
That is true. It's just easier that way. Because we have the ones where you can like pour it all into a bowl. I was like, yeah. I'm not bringing all that up here to work. Just give me the disposable one.
Mm,
all right.
Soup.
Really just adding to our plastic problem.
What's the best soup?
It's fair. I always love, right. I like cheese broccoli soup.
I love a lot of soups. I will tell you, I guess chili's not a soup, but I lean towards it is in a bowl and you
meat
eat
soup.
It like a soup.
Mm-hmm. It's a meat soup.
Yeah, it's meat soup, but then it's thicker. So, like, what's the thickness that takes it away from soup to a chili or from soup to a stew? Because, you know, beef stew, we don't call it beef soup because it is a thicker soup. So now we got to determine where's our line of soup to stew or soup to chili.
Mm-hmm. You really got to measure question. The thickness, yeah.
These are the questions we need answered.
Yeah, doesn't it all have to do with the thickness?
Yes.
As long as it is I want to say soupy, but that's not a great term because now I'm just watery, taking the word and watery, adding an E to the
thin.
Yeah, the thinness and wateriness of it is like, well, that's a soup because can you see how it is more of a liquid? Once we get less liquid, more solid, that's when we stew it or chili it.
Yeah, the firmer it is.
Okay, I feel like I want to say I learned a lot. I don't know if I actually did.
I'll Google the line of soup to stew.
Thank you.
So other people to throw in the mix, wide receiver for the Rams, DeMarcus Robinson, he was charged with a misdemeanor DUI. Bengals receiver Jermaine Burton, he's part of a really awful case where he's accused of choking a woman. And then there is Charles Snowden, who, no, he didn't steal a bunch of documents. He is accused, the cops say on the video of his arrest for DUI, that he's, quote, too drunk to even stand up. So he just sat in his car for a while and wouldn't roll the window down. Eventually rolled the window down after they knocked and screamed. Was like, sir, we need you to roll the window down. And he's like falling in and out of sleep. And it's just, it's a bad look across
and
the board.
Kevin, I know you've never had that experience. When you're the in that, when you're that place, you don't. There's nobody that's going to try and keep you from being behind
yeah.
the wheel. So that part of that part is like you got to figure out how not to get to that place. And that's like, hey, one drink or two drinks, I'm done. I'm not keys. Take them. Somebody take them just to keep me from being in a situation where I can't stand. Can I throw one more Forgiveness Friday in there? Did you see Jalen Thomas from Notre Dame last night? I was going to throw this in something else, but I can't remember. Last night, Jalen Thomas, they threw him an orange from the Orange Bowl.
Okay.
And he bit directly into the orange without taking the peel off, and all he got was peel. And then he's like standing there like, yeah, and then he goes, oh, my God, and he just starts spitting. And he's like, what did I do? Had he never had an orange before? Do we know the answer to this?
You get caught up in the moment. You get caught up in the moment.
If you had to eat a fruit, not like an apple where, yes, you eat the apple. I mean, we watch Jared Sandler. He eats the whole apple, even the poison part. but what fruit would you want to eat? This, we need to go to break with this. Think about this, Tolos. What fruit? Banana, orange, pineapple, obvious no. What fruit would be the one where you're like, screw it, I'll eat the whole thing?
That is a quality question. Coming up next, I guess it's time for Gridiron Gravy. We got wild card weekend prop bets for you right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Edwards in the backfield. Darius Davis in motion. Herbert to throw. Pump fakes. And now to the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. Chargers. Darius Davis. A hole shot from Justin Herbert. Left sideline to the end zone.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan, where I got some wild card prop bets for you, but those might have to wait as there are interesting transpirings happening as we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Here we go!
Gridiron Gravy, of course, brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your home? Visit RhinoShieldTX.com. Now, if you're a betting person, I do not think it would be a bad idea to put some money down on Lamar Jackson for MVP right now if you can get good odds, because the all-pro list is out, and this is interesting to me. Now, that doesn't mean that this is the way the MVP is going to play out, but you have the same people pretty much voting. Lamar Jackson got 30 of the votes for first-team quarterback. Josh Allen, 18.
Wow.
Joe Burrow, 2. Again, that doesn't mean Lamar Jackson is going to win MVP frequently. That is how it translates, and I found that to be a little bit surprising.
Kevin, when it comes to, completely, 1,000% understand your stance on this with Lamar Jackson this year, because it totally makes sense. However, the people that watched Lamar Jackson this year and compare it to his previous seasons,
yeah,
they saw a different quarterback. And Kevin, last year against Kansas City, we were like, you're trying to be something you aren't. And he was like, no, I'm trying to be something I want to be. And then this year he turned into what he wanted to be as a thrower and as a quarterback. You know, I talked about that. Shanahan said that a lot. You can have a guy that can change the game and give you all these different options on the field whenever he can run the ball. But at the end of the day, he's got to be able to make big-time throws. Lamar Jackson did that this year. Now, the big problem, and when it comes to the MVP voting, I think that's going to be they're going to say, yeah, it was a different type of year for him. Now, in playoffs, however, he is now missing Zay Flowers, and that's going to be an interesting deal.
I will tell you this. BetMGM and Vegas Insider instantly tighten their odds. They still have Allen as the favorite, but he's more of a minus 250 favorite, whereas a lot of the other books still have Josh Allen as minus 400, minus 450. And so they're like, hey, we probably should do this just to cover our asses. So I can run through it for you. Probably not a ton of surprises in terms of first-team All-Pro offense. Lamar Jackson, Saquon Barkley, who got 48 of the 50 votes. Kyle Juszczyk for the fullback, Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, first-team wide receivers. I believe CeeDee Lamb is going to end up as a second-team All-Pro. Brock Bowers gets the nod at tight end, and then Tristan Wirfs, Joe Thuney, Creed Humphrey, Chris Lindstrom, and Penei Sewell round out the offense. And for people curious about the Cowboys' representation comes at kick returner. Kamonte Turpin got 49 of the 50 available votes for first-team kick returner. And then Brandon Aubrey is going to be second-team All-Pro. He got 10 first-place votes. Chris Boswell from Pittsburgh got 39. And somebody decided to be awesome and vote for the Tampa kicker. So Brandon Aubrey going to be second-team. Kamonte Turpin, first-team All-Pro. But when you wonder, like,
hey, Bones is staying.
Yeah. How good did your team do? It's great to dominate the special teams awards, but like when those are going to be your representatives, maybe you didn't have the best season.
That's reality. I mean, that is the reality for this. CeeDee Lamb being a second, looking like a second team guy. And that's the reality of what this season was for the Cowboys. And they got to sit back and accept that and accept it for what it is. They were a flashy special team, so go ahead and ink Bones Fossil back into the Cowboys mix.
Here's my thoughts.
Tell me.
Hey, middle child, can I stop getting emails from your school that you didn't turn in an assignment? Crap, dude. I'm tired of it.
I don't know if that's gridiron gravy or not, but I appreciate
that's it. That's a real life alert, though, right?
That is.
He's the same child that wanted to see his girlfriend or no?
Yes. Girlfriend, done. Do your assignments.
And then you can go see her.
Maybe.
Why? My middle child, he was struggling with his schoolwork, too. I was constantly getting low grade alerts for him. I know he's smarter than that.
Listen, life's hard enough as a parent. Can you please just turn in an assignment?
Mm-hmm.
They don't get it. They don't get it at all.
I don't know.
Kevin, your thoughts on parenting.
Look.
Yeah. And congratulations, Turpin.
I just think we figured out.
Isn't he at the Dallas Card Show next week?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he is in Allen. So DallasCardShow.com. Go check it out. But I think what's interesting is you've now found the reward system for your middle child. Is like, you want to go see your girlfriend? Great. Stop having these. And
He's driving me insane.
I can tell.
I love him. He's a good kid. But man, is he making a lot of small mistakes.
Yeah.
And that's why I need football season to be year-round, because that was the motivating factor during football season was, do you want to keep playing football? Your grades better stay up.
Ooh.
He's dabbling in girlfriends right now.
You okay. Know what I mean? Yes. Now, I don't know if there's any way you would know this. Do you have a guess as to who's the first team punter? And we'll go off of something for this.
I mean, I feel like it should be Brian Anger because he got a lot of attempts.
It's not Brian Anger. It's Jack Fox.
Of course.
And
Fox.
I have no idea. Maybe this was the most heated All-Pro punting debate ever. Logan Cook with Jacksonville got 15 first-place votes. Jack Fox also got 15 first-place votes. But he gets the first-team nod because Jack Fox set a new NFL record this season, 46.2 net yards per punt this year. That is amazing.
Man. That is amazing. And that's, I mean, just think about this for a second, Kevin. We saw Shane Leckler at A&M kick like a 900-yard punt once. And so, like, to know that Shane Leckler existed and then this dude just put that up together, that's impressive.
By the way, for the person who goes, whoa, 940, when does Mike check his email? His personal email. Work email, you're wasting your time.
Yeah, never.
Send it to his personal
email. Twice a year on work email.
Okay, and that's just to clean it out, right? Yeah. Sort of. All right, so the Jets, Browns, and Jaguars have all been announced as hosts for the 2025 NFL games in London, so they will each host for that. Clearly, the NFL is giving the people overseas what they want by sending three of their worst teams over to play in London. But let's talk about Denver and why we need to take Denver seriously in the playoffs. So I want to shout out Twitter user XANB21, who's put together this amazing statistic. Sean Payton, since 2017, is 30-12 against bald head coaches. So when making your determinations for how viable the Broncos are this weekend against the Bills, consider this. The Bills head coach, oh, you bet McDermott is bald.
Oh.
And Sean Payton has a 30-12 record. He didn't just say that. This dude did the research going year by year, bald coach by bald coach.
I like this insight here.
You would.
Corey, also, do you think the Broncos have a better chance of winning if they go with the Mike Shanahan Navy jerseys and the newer helmet? Or do they go the Dan Reeves jerseys that they were against the Kansas City Chiefs and go with more of like your early John Elway?
Orange Crush,
Carl Mecklenburg looking jerseys.
Did they lose all those Super Bowls?
They lost all of them.
They did.
Yeah. But then they won in the
playoff games.
In the Shanahan ones. So yeah, man, that's an interesting approach. I think you roll out, I'm gonna say I love their retros. I really liked what their retro jerseys looked like this year. Those uniforms looked really sharp. And I always hated the dark blue ones that they had for the Shanahan group. I just didn't like them a lot. I love this stat, though, Kevin. Like, this is hilarious because my question is, what if a coach had hair before that time but now is bald? You know, like, what did he know that at the time were they bald?
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're McDermott, you say, I mean, this is to you guys because I'm not completely there yet. Do you grow your hair out this weekend or this week? Do you say, I'm just going to let it go so that I'm not bald while I'm playing against Sean Payton?
Because Mike Tomlin would fall into that category, right? Because he has hair, but I think
sometimes
now he shaves his head.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly. This is a great category. I love this stat. We should keep it more often.
I'll work on that, or I'll DM that person and be like, hey, can you keep up these stats? Because I don't want to do that work. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we could talk some more about the college football semifinal, but also predict the entirety of the NFL playoffs along with us. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.